confess something. I was really very scared to meet you.
Me?
Yes. Gorgeous and talented. And your connection with David. You know, there was a time when I thought we were on the road to getting back together. And I met you.
Say hi to Julia.
Hi, Julia.
Hi, Lily.
Say bye to Mommy.
Bye, sweetheart.
You'll get used to Tessa. She's adjusting, too.
I know she's Lily's mother, and of course I respect that, but it feels like I'm stepping into her life.
It's not easy, all this change. I get it. No, you don't. You couldn't possibly.
Not your fault.
I only had David and Lily. You took everything away from me.
Who sent me flowers?
What do you mean there's no record of who sent the arrangement? Take a deep breath.
I am so fucking tired right now, I'm not even gonna lie. I am so fucking tired, you know. It's Thursday. It's damn near about to be midnight, and I'm just tired, you know. I'm in a hot-ass desert right now. I got the AC blasting right now. So here's the deal. So obviously I'm out of town, so I didn't get a screener for this. So I found a theater here in Indio, California. It was an Edwards Theater. Nice little theater on the inside. Looks backwards as fuck on the outside, but whatever. You know, I went in there. I said, I got to go see this movie, Unforgettable. First of all, I was embarrassed, and I had to walk up to the ticket thing and go like,
let me get one for Unforgettable.
I'm sorry, sir. What did you say?
One for Unforgettable.
What did you say, sir?
One
for Unforgettable, God damn it. And you see all the black women behind you, whatever, in the line, or all the time. Ooh, girl, he gonna go see that movie right there. We gonna go see that, too. We gonna go see that, too. And I was like, oh, fuck. This is gonna be a crowded theater, ain't it? Saw it at, like, 10 p.m. showing here. And, yep, sure enough, there was a lot. Actually, there was a lot of white and black people in there. A lot of black women, though, per se, stuff like that. I had to be the only person in there by myself, because let's be real. All the people I've traveled with to Coachella, they're not going to sit up in that theater and watch this bullshit with me. Matter of fact, they're probably getting fucked up and laid right now while I'm at this house recording this bullshit-ass movie. Anyway, so... we got Unforgettable here. It's always nice to visit new theaters. And Unforgettable, which was directed by Denise DeNova and written by Christina Hodson and David Leslie Johnson. I don't ever want to hear that bullshit about Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel and any other women properties. We need to get more female directors and writers in there because they understand writing from a woman's perspective. This is the second fucking time I didn't see a woman director and writer team up to write a film that is a female character-based story and sucked ass. I don't want to hear that fucking excuse no more about we need to get women directors to direct these women characters. There. That argument holds absolutely no fucking weight anymore. Because this is embarrassing. This is another one of those movies that was directed and written by a woman where it's embarrassing for women. This does not help you progress in Hollywood or anything whatsoever. Matter of fact, these type of movies digress the whole situation of women in Hollywood. You know, I think it digresses women in general, I'll be honest. I go ahead and give I love the plot synopsis I see here, or whatever. It just says a woman sets out to make a life of living hell. That's a very detailed, thorough out plot synopsis right about there. So let me go ahead and give my version of the plot synopsis. You got Rosario Dawson plays Julia Banks in here. The only Banks I know is a goddess, and she's going to be up on stage tomorrow. Or I guess this morning, or tonight, since it's already midnight. Yeah. All right, whatever. Anyway, so here we go. We got her playing Julia Banks. We open up with her at her leaving, getting ready to leave her old job because, hey, well, she's about to move in with her boyfriend who's played by Jeff Stoltz, who's David Conover in here. Look at this piece of hunk of meat in there or whatever and shit. And I don't mean that in a good way neither. I mean really just a hunk of meat because this dude ain't got no fucking personality whatsoever. But she's getting ready to move with him into this small little village. I guess I don't know where the fuck this place is. She's already living in San Francisco. She's leaving this to drive. I think she said, what was it, 8 hours or something to go somewhere? Whatever. Because I guess that's where this guy has started his brewery company that's about to blow up big. And she works for a publishing company where she can just pretty much work from home. So it's a win-win for her situation. We also find out in this part, though, too, she was in a past relationship where she was abused by Simon Consanada, whatever the fuck that Negro name is. And he plays, his name is Michael Vargas in here. She was beat, and she doesn't want to tell her new boyfriend slash fiance because she doesn't want him to see her in this way and think that she's weak or anything like that, or want him to think differently about her, which I gotta say... That is the dumbest fucking thing ever. I understand, like, if you just don't want to tell that story yet because you're just uncomfortable telling it. But when she gave her reasoning for not wanting to tell it, especially when the stuff starting to... Well, at least when she thought that, like, well, she couldn't sleep because she was having nightmares about it and stuff like that. The fact that she's about to marry this dude and can't even tell him about this. Why would your husband or future husband look at you like, oh, you're weak. I don't want you or anything like that. If anything, that should be the test for him. You tell him that story and he decides, oh, you just weak or whatever. That means you don't need to be with this motherfucker then. Stupid ass. Jesus Christ, man. I fucking hate this movie. I like a lot. But anyway. So she gets introduced to Tessa. I don't know who the... I think the daughter was Lily Conover, and that's played by Isabel Kai Rice. Kai? What the fuck? Hold on. Let me look this girl up. A white girl, what the fuck? I guess this is her first time performing. She sucked too, so yeah, she's looking like a fake ass Chloe Grace, but she sucked ass too. And I wouldn't necessarily blame her so much, whatever. I would blame this director, probably told her to act as cold hearted as her fucking mother in this film, so she sucks ass. We meet Katherine Heigl, who plays Tessa Conover. They've been divorced, and they said it in the movie too, for about 2 fucking years, and this woman is just crazy. It's different from The Perfect Guy when Cody stunt double, Michael Ealy, made like that, turned that 100 out of nowhere or whatever. In this movie, no, Katherine Heigl's character is fucking crazy off the beginning. It's like when you look, especially when she's just, all she does in this whole movie, she just looks at you with those steel blue eyes, whatever. She just stares at you and shit. And then they play this shitty ass music in the background. I so loved her. He's like, cue the music. Here we go with that, you know. So, basically, Katherine Heigl is not feeling this whole situation. We meet her mother, is played by Cheryl Ladd, who's just known as Tessa's mother in here. And Tessa's mother, she's kind of like a bitch to Katherine Heigl's character. But she treats her daughter really well, you know, she treats her really nice and stuff, but Katherine Heigl, she treats her like, your silver is dirty and blah, 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 and this is your fault. She's pretty much telling Katherine Heigl, you need to move on. But she's kind of like, they're like really high class, high manner type style people here, and her mother is just trying to teach her to fucking move on and stuff like that because, you know, she's like, look, you fucked up, you cheated on him. That's why he left your ass. Not really knowing that David been really wanting to leave her ass, even though the reason why they had a kid together is because that was the mother's plan. It's like, get him pregnant. You gotta get him pressed away. You can trap him. He won't ever leave you then, whatever. He been wanting to leave her, but you know, obviously they had the kid, so you know, he did the right thing by just sticking around. But then once she cheated, he was like, well, that's the way to get the fuck up out of here. Bitch is crazy. And this movie just spends the whole time, you know, fucking with Rosario Dawson. There's even a part where Katherine Heigl gets a hold of her phone. And when her and the husband, what's his brother's name? David Conover, they're dancing. Katherine Heigl looks over their table and she sees her phone getting text from her friend, what's her name? Allie, I think it was. Who gives a fuck? Her name is Allie, and she's texting her saying, oh, don't worry, that dress will look better than you when you guys get married and stuff. So Tessa finds out they're getting married through this text message. She steals her phone, and she ends up hacking the phone by doing some really fucking CSI research that just blows my fucking mind. And on this phone, people, I kid you fucking not, not only is it just photos, and this is just an iPhone too, but apparently there's a folder where it says documents, and her fucking restraining order on her ex is on there, which blew my fucking mind. I was just like, why in the blue fuck would your restraining order be in a document file on your phone? I guess you just show people. I don't fucking know. Like, what is it there for, to be honest? And trust me, I've known women that had restraining orders. I've never seen that shit on their phone before and stuff like that. But so she ends up, because this girl, Rosario Dawson's character, she doesn't have a Facebook, Twitter, anything. She stayed offside because she does, because the restraining order has just been it expired, and she just doesn't get on social media. She doesn't want to be found by this dude. That's how traumatized she is by him. And this girl, Katherine Heigl, ends up creating a Facebook page, putting her face on it and stuff. Everybody else is too fucking stupid to realize that it's a fake, which is, I can tell you this right now. In the world of social media, especially being on Twitter and stuff, which, by the way, what fucking time frame was this movie even set in, to be honest? They had fucking landline phones in this film. But anyway, though, in the world of social media, it's easy to spot a fucking fake profile. Especially when all you have on that profile is just a photo and her name. Give me a fucking break, dude. Seriously, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then, not to mention, though, here's the really fucked up part about this. Instead of cops actually doing their fucking job and looking into work and stuff like that, you can clearly tell who made that profile just by checking the IP address. Be like, oh, this IP address is in this area at this place. Let's follow it and get, oh, my God, it's at Katherine Heigl's house. But no, they just straight up say, well, you had a Facebook page and you were sending them. Shut the fuck up, please. So anyway, Katherine Heigl, she starts messaging the ex, Mr. Michael Vargas. She's telling him, hey, she's sending him photos and shit off her phone and stuff like that. You know, I want you and stuff like that. It's pretty fucked up, I gotta say, beyond reasonable doubt. And I don't know why a woman would either write or direct that, you know, to put another woman in such a bad limelight like that, you know, because I was like, alright, that, I'm not gonna lie, for me, that was like, alright, this this is beyond crossing the line. This is just, not only is it stupid as fuck, but I was just like, you are willing to put this other woman's life in danger just because you just want your old life back. Right. I don't know not one single human being other than myself that would do some fucked up things like that. Okay? I don't give a goddamn how batshit crazy you are. That's just a little too extreme for my taste, if you ask me. So, I mean, basically, there goes your plots. Now, I gotta tell you, man, this movie fucking sucks ass. The dialogue in here is shit. I will say this. It is not as laugh-out-loud moments as The Perfect Man or that No Good Deeds one. And I'm sure there's another one I'm blanking on. When the Bow Breaks. Because this is Warner Brothers. And already, I don't like Warner Brothers. But you guys heard this week's episode of Movie Spoiler. I fuck Warner Brothers. They can eat a dick for all I care. All their movies can eat shit. I don't care about them no more. But Warner Brothers just doesn't know how to push that envelope like Screen Gems / Sony knows how to. They don't know how to push that envelope to make this just laugh out loud. You gotta be fucking kidding me, ridiculous. No, this is just bad on the sake of bad, you know? When the Bow Breaks, No Good Deeds and The Perfect Guy, that's laugh out loud bad. That's like, what the fuck is this, Brian? And I know a lot of critics probably out there right now shitting on, like, oh my God, this is the worst thing I've ever seen, whatever. That's because they're not like me and Cody. They ain't seen nearly half of these fucking films that we've seen, whatever. Because these films never have screeners or anything like that, so they usually get the lowest reviews because nobody really sees them and stuff. So other than me and Cody, who actually goes to theaters to go watch these bullshit-ass movies and stuff like that, these other critics don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I'm gonna be real with you here. This movie is actually pretty fucking tame for some bits. There's a scene in here, though, I gotta say was pretty fucking ridiculous. For some reason, Rosario Dawson just keeps hanging around Tessa. I don't know why. You would think she'd tell that bitch, look, you need to hit the fucking curb. Or she would tell her husband, I don't want to see that chick. As a matter of fact, I don't even have to see that chick, to be honest. And you could say, look, either it's going to be me or her. Alright, damn this mother. Because they tried to crowbar this child in here. The child who adds absolutely nothing to the fucking movie. Only thing she adds is that's the only reason why Tessa still comes around. She has to get her child. Yeah, but here's the thing in this movie. She gets the child for like two or three days of the week. And we saw this bitch Tessa every fucking day of the week. Okay, so that makes no sense if you ask me. Now, the thing, this one scene, they go, I guess, to get a margarita or something. They're talking, and Tessa just goes on and on about how, you know, sex with, what's this boy's name? David was so good. We had more of a sexual chemistry than a romantic chemistry. You know, we were fucking everywhere. We was this. And, you know, Rosario Dawson's just sitting there taking it and shit like that. And she's like, yeah, he's great. And I'm just like, I'd have walked out of this bitch. I would have told her. If I was Rosario Dawson, I'd have been told Katherine Heigl, yeah, he is great, man. Especially the night when he fucked me in the ass. You know, that shit. He gagged my fucking mouth and just fucked the shit out of my asshole or whatever, you know. I would have really pissed her off. She would have had definitely the reason to kill my black ass or whatever. I would have looked at her and just been like, I'd have been like, there was this moment where he tied me down, whatever. He brought another dude in, whatever, and they fucking gangbanged me. This shit was crazy or whatever, you know. I would have lied my ass off on her ass. And the next scene, she goes to this, Rosario Dawson's character goes to this dinner with David and I guess some clients for his brewery. You know, because this is like a big client. This is the big investor that's really going to take his brewery to the next level here and shit. And she starts giving David and this other girl that's standing sitting next to him the crazy eyes. You can see her mascara's like coming down and shit. She's like, David gets up, I guess, to go to the bathroom. And she's like, excuse me. She drags him into the bathroom and she just damn near fucks the shit out of him. And she gives him head and everything. And then she just like, when she's done, she's like, not like me. It's like, you gotta, and the way it's shot too, it's fucking ridiculous too. I mean, the way it was shot is just like, they got the camera like flashing like it's a fucking flashing light or something, like it's cutting the next scene or something, like the old school television shows and shit. Looks fucking ridiculous. He's just like, give me a fucking break. So this dude ends up, the Michael Vargas character, he ends up showing up to her place. This is right after Rosario Dawson finally gets in Katherine Heigl's face about something. About, like, you know, you don't punish Lily due to your problem with me or anything like that. Because she fucking cut Lily's hair and shit like that. Because Rosario Dawson told Lily to get off the horse when Katherine Heigl was trying to force her on this horse and stuff. So... Katherine Heigl, she ends up falling down the stairs herself. So David and them take her to the hospital. Next thing you know, this dude shows up to her house, Michael Vargas. But before that is another ridiculous ass scene where, okay, so Katherine Heigl breaks into their place and she steals her wedding ring. She steals a thing of her panties and she steals a watch that Rosario Dawson gave him. How does she know Rosario Dawson gave him this watch? Beats the fuck out of me. It really does. I'm not going to lie. So she ends up mailing it to this Michael Vargas guy. And then she fucking has internet chat sex with him, I guess. I don't know what the hell you call this or whatever. She's like stroke, pull it out and stroke it harder. And she's rubbing herself while she's drinking a nice glass of red wine and stuff like that. And the way it was shot, I was like, wow, this is really fuck. Is she jerking off to a fucking a woman beater? Like, she's getting a threat. And then he writes her a message back. That was great, baby. When can we really fuck? And I'm assuming she gave her the address. This dude showed... Well, before that, too, I want to say, Rosario Dawson got some random flowers. And finally, the husband, he finally has a little bit of dialogue to say because he's kind of fucking useless. David Conover, he says, Tessa said you got flowers. Who sent you those flowers? Tessa said this, whatever. And she's like, I don't know who sent those flowers. And this is the part where I hated him now. I was like... Okay, he's trying to make the point that he left Tessa, but it comes off ridiculous as fuck when he starts listening to Tessa about his new wife, or fiance, if you will. I was just like, whose side are you on, first of all? You just admitted the bitch is crazy, but yet you're going to sit up there and listen to her he's like, she's the mother of my child, Christ. She's gonna have to be around. You just gotta deal with it, whatever, and stuff. I'm like, so you're willing to take her word over your new future wife's word, who you've been dating for 2-3 years now? Man, dude, fuck you. So, seriously, I was like, wow, you are a shitty, awful fucking person, I gotta say. I can tell you this right now. If I was dating someone, ta-da, and let's just say, I don't know, her ex was coming to me telling me things, whatever stuff, who the fuck you think I'm gonna believe, huh? The ex who she ended up leaving or whatever, or her. After 2 years. Yeah, I'm going to listen to her. Whatever she did in her past, who gives a shit, whatever stuff. In the 2 years I've been dating her, she hasn't done anything of that sort or whatever. So why the fuck would I listen to him? Who the fuck is him to me? Even if he is the, I guess the roles are reversed. I'm thinking how I would revert this. I guess I need to say my ex or something like that then. Because even if she was the mother of my child, still, why the fuck would I listen to her? Just because she's the mother of the child, that don't mean shit. It was just like, yeah, I'll just be nice to her because my child likes her. You know, other than that, that's about it, though. I'm not going to fucking listen to a word this bitch has to say, especially when I know she's fucking crazy. Either way, though, Michael Vargas ended up showing her the house, and he's like, what you running for, baby? He's shaking and shit, whatever. He's crazy. He's just like, I'm tired of these fucking mixed signals you sending me. You told me to come. You wanted me, baby. She ends up stabbing his ass in the knee and shit. She runs out of the house. But then Katherine Heigl comes in. And she's like, who the fuck are you, man? And she's like, I gave you one fucking job. She ends up stabbing this dude with a knife. And he's like, it was you that sent those men. And I'm just like, okay, this is even weirder now. She runs to the police or whatever. Police end up telling her, No, you're pretty fucking crazy yourself. We found this dude dead in your house, blah, blah, blah. Plus, after all this, you've been messaging this man and stuff like that. This is going back to why the cops just didn't track the IP address. Just beats the fuck out of me, you know. And it really beats the fuck out of me. He's like, you know, we're going to let you go, but you're still under question right now and stuff. You know, and they ended up telling David, you know, all the things that she's been sending him and stuff like that. So he decides to go visit Katherine Heigl's character. She's burning the evidence, and she's got the fucking wedding ring on or whatever and stuff that she stole from Rosario Dawson. And she hears the doorbell ring. She tries to burn the evidence quicker. She looks right at the ring and leaves it on. She don't even take it off or whatever and shit. David opens the door. He just walks in, and he's looking around, and then he looks at the evidence, and then he looks at her ring, and And with the most non-emoting face I have ever fucking seen, he says, oh my God. It was so bad. He is so bland and dry, whatever. He was just like, oh my God. Julia was right. You're crazy. I was like, really, dude? And he's like, I'm leaving. Turns around, because after she gets in his face, whatever, like, you threw this all in my face or whatever and shit. He turns around, she knocks him upside the head. Clearly, I mean, if he knew she was fucking crazy, like, why would you even turn your back on her? Knocks him upside the head. She ends up trying to fucking tape him together. Rosario Dawson, she's speeding through traffic, breaking every other fucking law in the book. But nobody stops her. She ends up getting to the house. She sneaks in the house and saves Lily. She puts Lily in the backseat of the car and runs back into the house like a dumbass instead of just getting her phone and calling 911. Hey, 911, you ain't gonna believe me. I just left your detention center. I'm gonna tell you a fucked up story. This crazy bitch I told you about is at this location. You need to send units in now. She's fucking crazy. No, she runs back in the house as this bitch, Katherine Heigl, is tying David up. She makes herself known and then tries to get the phone and dial 911. Katherine Heigl pulls the fucking landline out of the wall. I was like, and I remember saying out loud, is that a landline? What? You got this rich ass house and shit like that? Like this big ass mansion? And you got a fucking landline? Time period was this setting. Who has a landline? Do they even still offer landlines anymore? The only landlines I know would still be offered is in office buildings for like a fire emergency or some shit like that. But that's about it. And then next, you know, you have this shitty ass fights. It really was just a cat fight. It was like literally throwing you against a table and shit like that. And next, you know it, Katherine Heigl ends up kind of killing herself with this knife. Then next, you know what, Julia, she saves her fucking husband. He's just like, I'm sorry, Julia. I'd let his ass bleed to death. I'd have been like, you goddamn right, you sorry. Shit, I've been trying to tell your ass. You don't fucking listen to me. Next, you know, we fast forward 6 months later. They bought a new house. They moved back to San Francisco. Then next, you know, the dog is barking. They got a new dog. They got a dog and everything. The kid is sleeping in the bed. Oh, life is lovely. And this was the worst fucking ending part here. They go to the door. The dog is barking. She's like, there's nobody out there. What are you barking for? And the fucking mother shows up. Tessa's mother, grandmother. Lily shows up. Lily runs the door. Grandma, you know, and she's like, I forgot. She's like, now you think I wouldn't be able to come to see my grandbaby now? And it just, the camera just shuts off with Cheryl Ladd smiling as she hugs her granddaughter and Rosario Dawson just holding the door, just looking like she don't know what the fuck is going on right now. It's almost like someone didn't tell her she was coming or something like that. And then it plays this cheap ass music and it just cuts off. And I was just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. It was almost like that scene in Scream or Scary Movie or something like that where she's just standing in the fucking middle of the street saying, no! And then a car comes and runs her ass over or something like that. That was almost the sentiment of that scene right there. This movie's pretty horrible, I gotta say. It's pretty bullshit. It's boring as fuck, too, I gotta say. Woo, man. That middle half, man. This movie is about an hour and 50 minutes, and woo, I was bored out of my fucking mind. There was a lot of repetitive shit that happened in this film, and a lot of moments where it's just like, oh my god, dude, seriously, just tell the fucking man, please. It was a lot of one of those things. It was like, if you just sit down and talk and tell someone, then there you go. And then, you know, there was even an argument about like, oh, when she lost daughter, she lost her phone, and then her husband David is like, it's in the car, probably it's in the car. She's like, I checked the car, and then Katherine Heigl's character throws the phone back in the car window, and she's like, where'd you find my phone? He's like, so it was in the car seat, like I told you to check. And it's just like, motherfucker, you've been driving this car all week. Did you see this phone in that car seat the whole time? No? Shut the fuck up, please. He was just so fucking retarded in this film. And the thing is, he doesn't come on strong retarded. It's something you really gotta just glance at and just go like, ah, you are just oblivious and stupid, aren't you? Yeah. You are just a sack of meat to be there. And I cannot think about anything else for this movie except a low fuck it. I absolutely hated this fucking movie. I didn't even know Katherine Heigl was still making films. Rosario Dawson, I gotta say, which is one of the reasons why I'll say this is better than those other films too, is because Rosario Dawson, she came to play. I don't know why, but she really did come to play. She's given some shitty ass material to work with. She's a terrible character. But, you know, hey, she's doing the best she can. I thought she kind of came out standing above this material just a little bit, but not really by far. That's probably my only pass. I thought everything else in here was dog shit. The label just dog shit right on it. Katherine Heigl, dog shit. Jeff Stoltz, dog shit. Cheryl Ladd wasn't in there enough, but hey, I'm gonna give her dog shit too. Warner Brothers, they've always been dog shit. This little girl, Isabella Cott, whatever the fuck her name, dog shit. Y'all get labeled dog shit. So yeah, this is getting a low fucking for me. And the title lives up to this movie. This is pretty fucking unforgettable, I gotta say.
No one knows where you live.
Where's your ring? How come you're not aware?
She's messing with me.
I made one mistake.
There isn't a day that goes by that
Tessa. Goodbye.
You're worthless, Julia. You'll always be worthless.
Tessa, why are you here? David?
Enough is enough.
Are you threatening me?
Yes, I'm threatening you.
This is my life.